In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Word of God says to study. We're to study to rightly divide the Word of God. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it tells us that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The Word of God says what it means, and it means what it says. And God has a purpose for everything He says, where He says it, why He says it, how He says it, to whom He says it,
when He says it.
And it also says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And words are part of a spoken language. And different languages have different ways of saying the same thing. So the original languages were spoken in Hebrew, Greek, and in Aramaic. And in English, we have the word spirit, but it's translated from the word pneuma. And the word pneuma has various meanings. It could mean God who is spirit. It could mean His gift of Holy Spirit. It could mean the manifestations of spirit. It could mean the spirit of man, which is His soul life. And it's the same word, spirit, but it has many meanings. And then the English word receive, we've learned that it is translated from two different words, tekamai and lambano. And each one has a different meaning, tekamai subjectively, lambano in manifestation. I like to look this morning at the Greek word pistis. The word pistis is translated either as faith, or as the verb pistuo, believing. And God has different ways of using those in His word also. In English, faith is often used as a religious affiliation. You have the Buddhist faith, you have the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, the Mormon faith, et cetera, et cetera. It's an affiliation to a religious organization. Or it could also mean an ethical conviction, a trust or confidence. And then believing, we believe things that are constant. For example, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, 2 and 2 are 4, are also things that come to us on good authority, like politicians and weathermen. And those are things that we believe. But if we take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, you may turn there now, in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 6. If someone was to come to the Word of God and see Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith. And the person might say, well, I have faith. I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Mormon, I'm a Christian, or whatever. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, I have a religious affiliation, and I believe that God is. Just look around. How can you not believe in a higher power? So, that could be one way of interpreting this verse. But since the Bible interprets itself, we can glean meanings of words by how God uses them in the Scripture. In the original languages, as holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews, the word pistis, according to the way it's used in the Bible, the word pistis is faith in, believing in, acceptance of someone, or faith in, believing in, acceptance of information and or instructions. That's how the word is used, according to God, in the Bible, the word pistis. And another way that it could be used is that it is used with in a genitive case with the definite article the. And in that genitive case with the definite article, it indicates the right way of believing as opposed to all other ways of believing. So it could be the faith, the right way of believing. And we have this, like, if Donnie had a poster of the Mona Lisa on the wall, we would say, well, that's the Mona Lisa. But if we go to Paris in the museum and we see Da Vinci's, we would say, that's the Mona Lisa, indicating the one, the original, and all others are fakes or imitations. And in the Greek, when it's used within the genitive case, it's understood, pistis, as the right way. It's a part of the language. So pistis could also be used as a figure of speech metonymy, where one word used, faith, is meant to express the entirety of the subject, meaning the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have. The one word faith means that whole thing when it's used as the figure of speech metonymy. And we use that, we could say, well, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. The one word Eagles indicates the whole team effort, the coaches, the players, the kickers, everybody involved at work together to win the Super Bowl, but we just say the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That's metonymy and how it's used. So to get into this, I'd like to start in Luke chapter 1. And it's a record of a event that's one of the major fulcrums in the history of the world. And we'll be looking at starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So there she's getting some information. And it's coming from God. Verse 29, And when she saw him, she was troubled in at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. For the angel said, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Some more information. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, Whoa, back up a minute. How shall these things be? I know not a man. So she needed some more information. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall also conceive a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. So she gets a little instruction there about how this is going to happen. She gets information and she gets instruction. And then in verse 37 it says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And of course, there's a lot of ramifications of the information she got, you know, in terms of Joseph's response, the community response, and things like that. But she said, Be it done unto me according to thy word. And then when we look down into verse 45, she goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth greets her. And verse 45 says, And blessed is she that believeth. She believed. She had the information. She had the person that she trusted was God. And it says here that she believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told thee from the Lord. So, if we go over to Luke chapter 5 while we're in the neighborhood. Luke chapter 5, and in verse 15. This is talking about Jesus Christ. It said, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So there was some information going around. There was some knowledge of a person, and people were believing that and pursuing it. And if you go down to verse 15, no, we were in 18. It says, and behold, men brought in a bed with a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Talking about Jesus Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with the couch into the midst of Jesus. And when he saw their belief, their faith, the word pistis there, their believing, their acceptance of him, or the words that they had taught, but had heard in verse 15, when they saw that, when Jesus saw their believing, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then down in verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. So he had believing, he had confidence and trust in who Jesus Christ was and what he had heard concerning him. If we go to Matthew chapter 8, we'll start in verse 2. Matthew 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So he accepted, or he had faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We go down to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion says, well, I'm a man of authority. You don't have to come. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. And in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him, that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, pistis, or believing, no, not in Israel. So there was acceptance of Jesus Christ, who he was, and what he had been doing, the information he got. And he said, you don't have to come, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And in verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, pistis, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now if we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we look at this in regard to the way pistis is used in the Bible, it could be translated now believing or acceptance of or believing God and or acceptance of his information and or instruction is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this chapter includes the mention of the people in the Old Testament, men and women who trusted God, who believed the information that they received and acted upon it and got the results. And if we go back down to Hebrews 11:6, it could be translated or understood as, but without faith, but without believing, but without acceptance of God and or acceptance of his instruction or his information, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, have faith that he is, must accept that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The seeking being, the seeking including both accepting God and accepting his information or instruction. So, in the next chapter, Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those Old Testament believers, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the word faith there, pistis, is used in the genitive case, meaning the right way of believing. It says here that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of the right way of believing. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 22, it says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith, the right way of believing of Jesus Christ, may be given to those that believe. And then in verse 23 it says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Jesus Christ was the author and finisher of the right way of believing. Before that came, they were under the law and shut up to the right way of believing which should afterwards come. So, there's a record in the Word of God, where Genesis 3:15, we're all familiar with, where God promised the seed, and that would reconcile men to God. And then Genesis 15, Abraham is talking with God, and he takes him out and shows him the stars and the heavens and everything, and he says, so shall thou thy seed be. So the promised seed of Genesis was made known to Abraham, and God told Abraham, well, that's how your seed's going to be. The Messiah will come from your lineage. And he made that known to Abraham. But if we look in Romans chapter 4, so Abraham was before faith came. And in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the right way of believing. Abraham was strong in the right way of believing and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So it says here that Abraham was strong in the right way of believing, but the right way of believing came with Jesus Christ. So he was strong in the right way of believing before Jesus Christ made it available, which seems like a contradiction. But if we look at Galatians in chapter 3, chapter 3, I'm getting there. In verse 8, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The gospel is the good news. And the good news of the gospel is about all the accomplishments of Jesus Christ and what would be made available. And it says here in the Word of God that Abraham, God preached the gospel to Abraham. So he knew back then what the Messiah would accomplish and what would be made available. And it's kind of similar to our administration here. We know about the hope, but the hope is not available yet. It's still future. And God told Abraham what was going to happen, the right way of believing. Abraham had that right way of believing, even though it wasn't available yet, to partake of it. And God had preached that to him. And it was by the right way of believing that he was able to have that confidence that it talks about in Romans, and stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. So that was pretty interesting, and I saw that in the Word of God. Abraham knew of the accomplishments of the Messiah, the promised seed, but was not yet, but it was not yet available. And there's some examples of the word pistis used as the figure of speech in metonymy. I'll give you just a couple of those. In Acts chapter 6, that's where the one word faith is used for all the accomplishments, all that's available through believing, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Acts chapter 6, in verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The word faith is used there, and it means all the accomplishments, all that's available through believing, Romans 10, 9, and 10. And if we go to Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace ye are saved through faith. It's the one word used, the figure metonymy, for all that's available by confessing Romans 10:9. And in Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. That's the usage metonymy, the one word used for all the accomplishments. We take that, everything that's available to us, whereby we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So that's some of the ways that pistis is used. There's also a word, oligopistia, which is unbelief. And Jesus Christ is the only one that uses that word in the Bible, unbelief. And there's also the word apostia, which is unbelief. He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Oh, oligopistis is of little believing. Oh, ye of little faith. He's the only one that uses that word. And then apostia is the one where unbelief, he could not do many mighty works there. So a lot of times you'll hear people say, I'm believing for this, I'm believing for that, or I'll believe with you. That's not according to God's word. God's word says that we make our request known unto him. We claim the promises of God, and they'll come to pass in our lives, but we don't believe for them. The only way you believe for things is through the manifestation of believing, where you have information, you have instruction, and by the manifestation of believing, it comes to pass in the material realm. Otherwise, you make a request known, you pray for things, you don't necessarily believe for things.